in this country, we may be divided over a lot of things, but one thing we do agree on, we New Orleanians hate potholes, and we have plenty of them. I remember a news story a couple of years ago about a pothole in a local neighborhood that had been there so long that a little tree was growing in it. The neighbors had tried and tried to get it fixed. They called, they complained, but to no avail. So they began decorating it. When it was Mardi Gras, they put beads on the tree. When it was Christmas, they put decorations for Christmas. They put up Saints flags and LSU flags and football season. You at least gotta love their spirit. I don't know if that pothole was ever fixed or not. But I do know that potholes pose a danger to us and to our cars. We experience damage to our vehicles when we forget that there's a deep pothole on a certain street, and driving at night, we don't see it until we hit it. Or, as it happens almost every day lately, if the street begins to flood, you can't tell there's a hole up ahead of you that can hurt you, your car, and your pocketbook if you fall victim to it. But there are always dangers in this world that we have to be aware of and be prepared to deal with and to strategize. How are we going to overcome them? Maybe we can take a different route. Maybe we can go around the hole in another lane if no other traffic is coming. Or if you have to go through it at 1 mile per hour. Whatever it takes to get where we're going unscathed, if at all possible. Well, Jesus was talking about stumbling blocks, and my mind just naturally went to potholes. I think it's the Louisiana equivalent of a stumbling block. But seriously, what is Jesus trying to tell his disciples and those of us who are his followers today? Let's take a closer look at this text. It's really an intriguing passage. The conversation begins with the disciple John complaining to Jesus about some unknown person doing ministry in Jesus' name. Apparently, the disciples had tried to stop that person because he was not following them. Now note, it doesn't say that he was not following Jesus. It says that he wasn't following the disciples. In other words, he wasn't one of the 12, the in crowd of Jesus' followers. He was an outsider that they didn't know. He was not a member of the First United Methodist Church. So therefore, they reasoned, he couldn't be doing legitimate ministry, could he? Those poor disciples, they're always getting it wrong, a lot of times. We might look at them and say, how could they be so narrow-minded? Really? Has the Church of Jesus changed very much in 2,000 years? Aren't we still quick to judge others if they don't belong to us? And by us, I mean our specific denomination of the Christian faith. We don't see ourselves connected to other Christian churches or denominations, but we are connected, and we are one body of Christ. We may call ourselves by different labels denominationally. We may worship in different styles and have different teachings, but if we belong to Christ, then we are a part of the universal body of Christ called the church. And even if we disagree over the method of baptism, or the way that Holy Communion is celebrated, or who can be ordained or not, we still have much more in common in Christ than we do differences. Jesus told John and the others, "Don't stop other people from doing ministry in my name. If they're not against us, then they're for us, they're with us. We are together in the body of Christ." If John had been focused on the ministry and the work of Christ, he would have celebrated that somebody had been healed in the name of Christ through that other person's ministry. His joy would have been multiplied. Instead, we see his joy was diminished. He was soured by focusing on himself and the other disciples rather than focusing on Christ and Christ's ministry. You know, one reason that I truly believe the gospel is true is because the disciples write about all their failures as well as their good times. I mean, you'd think, you know, if you were writing this account of me and Jesus, you would be the hero, the star. But we see where John messed up. And we learn from John's experience. We see where Peter messed up. And we learn from Peter's experience. Think about around the whole world all of the good, the ministry that is done in the name of Christ. Imagine all the people that have been touched by Jesus, that have been lifted up and encouraged by all of the churches. It's overwhelming. It's mind-boggling to even think about it. You see, we are all small parts of a large whole that can make a tremendous difference in people's lives. If we can get beyond ourselves to the powerful, loving Spirit of Christ among us. When God sees the church, God sees the whole church, not just each congregation. We must be careful as Christians in the modern church that we don't become too isolated or narrow in our focus. Too many churches become islands unto themselves. We must not allow ourselves to be so hemmed in, so limited in our connection. When we come together as Christians, we can lift spirits, minds, and voices together to share our common love for God and for ministry in the world. And we can begin in our own community. Now, y'all that know me well know that I am not a fan of getting up early. But one day a year excites me, and that's our Easter Community Sunrise Service. For so many years, Christians in Algiers have been coming together to worship on Easter Sunday morning by the Mississippi River in the dark from all different denominations. And what a joy that is. Even if it's 1 hour per year. It's also why I meet with other pastors in Algiers and in the West Bank. You all know that we had several pastoral changes this past July here on the West Bank in our Methodist churches. And we pastors have been meeting together once a month. And we are committed to continuing that joint worship service with all of the Methodists on the West Bank, and there are 7 United Methodist churches on the West Bank, and we're all within 10 miles of each other geographically. I believe it's important that we know each other, that we worship together and fellowship together and serve Christ together. My prayer is that one day we'll even do a joint mission project together. The West Bank, United Methodist Churches. What could we do in ministry together? John was attempting to stop someone from doing ministry in the name of Christ, but he did not succeed. Thank goodness he didn't. Notice it says, we tried to stop this other person from doing ministry in Christ's name. You see, we can become a stumbling block to someone else's connection with God and not even realize it. That's why Jesus is teaching that we must be very careful that we don't hurt someone else's faith, that we don't make fun of the way they worship or how they worship or what church they go to. We must not come between God and others or hinder their healing experience of God because of our narrow-mindedness or our insistence that they must join us if they want to know Jesus. I have many friends from other denominations besides Methodist. And in recent years, there's been an effort by Christian churches to join together ecumenically and worship. If people don't want to join us at Algiers United Methodist Church, then let's refer them to another church. If this isn't a fit for them, for their spiritual home, then instead of being a stumbling block, let's help them find a Bible study or a worship experience that brings them close to God. As long as we belong to Jesus, that is what is most important. I think a lot of Christians are going to be surprised one day when we join Jesus and the heavenly host in eternity. All of the nations will be represented, number one. Number two, many different denominations will be there, but we won't be divided anymore. We will be one in singing praises to God and sharing the love of God that never ends. A stumbling block is something that gets in the way, that prevents or hurts others. But Jesus also made a point that we can be a stumbling block to ourselves. Jesus talks about getting rid of the parts of you that cause you to do damage and to be separated from God. Sin separates us from God. And if we continually live a sinful lifestyle, we move farther and farther away from where God wants us to be. Sometimes we can do permanent damage, lasting harm to ourselves and others resulting from our sinful behaviors. Pastor Nadia Boltz Weber tells a funny story about this passage of Scripture in relation to something she did as a child. She wrote, and I quote, "It's only once in a while that we get to hear Jesus talk about brutal self-mutilation as a sign of discipleship." She says, kind of facetiously, "I remember the summer I was 11 years old, and I stole some candy from Kmart, and I hid it in the heat duct in my room. And I remember going to church and hearing this passage soon after that and thinking how my hand had caused me to sin, and then and there I decided never to steal again in case Jesus insists that I hack off my limbs." She says, "The problem, of course, though, is that my hand never caused a darn thing. My eye doesn't cause me to sin. My foot can't be held accountable for my missteps. If you want to find the culprit behind sin, don't look at my hands. Look in my heart. My poor feet just do what they're told to do." Unquote. Stumbling blocks make us fall. We know that physically falls are very dangerous. We can break bones. We can have to have surgery. And some people never recover from a bad fall. Falls are serious business. But they're also serious business spiritually. That is why Jesus is warning the people to watch out, to be alert, to be proactive. Get rid of whatever it is in your life that is taking you away from God. And don't be a hindrance for anyone else's faith. We can't be made whole and healed by God unless we're connected to God. Jesus has made it possible for our sin to be forgiven, and He also can give us the strength to overcome the stumbling blocks in our lives. The 12 disciples took turns falling down and getting things wrong, but Jesus would help them back up again, teach them a lesson, and keep on turning them toward God until they were putting God as the center of their lives. When our hearts are filled with Christ, there's not enough room for those terrible stumbling blocks and giant potholes that can bring us destruction. So may we go forth today, united in the love of Christ with Christians around the world, with more determination than ever to minister in the name of Christ anywhere and everywhere we go, and to give encouragements, like the children were saying, to other Christians. Good job. That's awesome. How incredible the ministry that you do in the name of Christ. Amen.